أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء تلقون إليهم بالمودة وقد كفروا بما جاءكم من الحق يخرجون الرسول وإياكم أن تؤمنوا بالله ربكم إن كنتم خرجتم جهادا في سبيلي وابتغاء مرضاتي تسرون إليهم بالمودة وأنا أعلم بما أخفيتم وما أعلنتم ومن يفعله منكم فقد ضل سواء السبيل إن يثقفوكم يكونوا لكم أعداء ويبسطوا إليكم أيديهم وألسنتهم بالسوء وودوا لو تكفرون لن تنفعكم أرحامكم ولا أولادكم يوم القيامة يفصل بينكم والله بما تعملون بصير. صدق الله العظيم. إن شاء الله with the فضل الكرم of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, we will discuss today Surah الممتحنة. الممتحنة from امتحان, which means the examiner. Allah سبحانه وتعالى opens this Surah addressing the believers, and Allah says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O ye who believe, لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. Do not take my enemies and your enemies as friends. تلقون إليهم بالمودة, in which you express love with them, you express your محبت for them. وقد كفروا بما جاءكم من الحق, whereas they have rejected the truth that has come to you. يخرجون الرسول وإياكم, they have expelled the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم and you people from Makkah. Why? أن تؤمنوا بالله ربكم, just because you have iman in Allah who is your Rabb. إن كنتم خرجتم جهادا في سبيلي, Allah says, if you have to set out in jihad in my way, in a struggle in my way, وَابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ, and to seek my pleasure, تُسِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, you express love with them secretly, وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُمْ, whilst I know what you have concealed and what you have revealed, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ, whosoever does this from amongst you, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ, then he has missed the straight path. Now to understand these verses, we have to go back into the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to look at also the shan-i-nuzul, the reason why this particular or these verses were revealed. It is mentioned in Tafsir al-Qurtubi that before the conquest of Makkah, and of course after the battle of Badr, and before the conquest of Makkah, during that period, there was a woman who came from Makkah. She was a vocalist. Her name was Sarah, and she arrives in Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks her whether she had also made hijrat from Makkah to Medina. She replies, no, she has not come to make hijrat. Then he asks another question, whether she had embraced Islam or not. Again, her reply was in the negative. In other words, she was not a Muslim. So he asked her, what was the reason for her to come to Medina? She is not a Muslim. She hasn't come to make hijrat, obviously. So she has come for some reason, some purpose. So she explains and she says that you belong to the high society of Makkah, and I used to do my living amongst you people. the great leaders of Makkah were killed in the Battle of Badr, and you people have moved here in Medina. My living has become impossible. I am down and out. I'm hard pressed. I've come to you for help." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to her that you are a professional female singer of Makkah. So where are the youngsters, the Meccan youngsters, who used to shower money upon you? Where are all those youngsters? So she says, after the Battle of Badr, all her functions and all her singing, all had come to an end. Since that time, she says, nobody has invited me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he was opposed to singing and music, etc. But this woman who had come all the way, and she had no means of earning a living, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt pity for her, and he encouraged the Banu Abdul Muttalib to assist her. So they helped her with some money, with some clothing and other things, and they sent her off. So now she leaves Medina and she goes back to Makkah. She had come just for assistance. Now remember, we haven't reached the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the incident of Hudaybiyah in Sirah as yet. And when we will come to Hudaybiyah, we will explain more detail. But at Hudaybiyah, there was a treaty that was signed, a peace agreement between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quraysh of Makkah. And when the people of Makkah, the pagans of Makkah, they failed to honor this treaty of Hudaybiyah, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made secret preparations to march on and to attack Makkah. So let us understand now that this incident took place during the years after Badr and before the conquest of Makkah, and in fact after Hudaybiyah. Now in Hudaybiyah, the Meccans, they had signed a treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was of course only one-sided, it was biased, it was against the Muslims, against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forced, he was compelled to sign this treaty. He signed it, although it was one-sided, it was not fair for the Muslims, it was all in the favor of the non-Muslims. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that inshallah there would be victories one day for them. But when the Meccans had broken this treaty and they went against the clauses of this treaty, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now made secret preparations. And he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this secret plan of his must not become divulged to the people of Makkah. Now it so happened, he had mentioned this to Sahaba, this is his plan, and now we are going to attack Makkah. Amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, respected mothers and sisters, let us listen very attentively, because this is a very important point to understand. If you don't understand this incident, we won't understand the ayats, the verses of today's surah. Amongst the Sahaba, there is a companion by the name of Sayyidina Hatib bin Abi Balta'ah radiallahu ta'ala, originally from Yemen, but he had settled in Makkah first, and he had no relatives there. He embraced Islam and he made hijrat. He comes to Medina with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the people who, his family from Yemen who came with him, they were still in Makkah. They had not made the hijrat as yet. So the pagans of Makkah used to persecute them. The pagans of Makkah, they would persecute the Muslims who had still remained in Makkah after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made the hijrat. Sahaba made hijrat from Makkah to Medina. Some of them, a handful of them, still remained in Makkah. There were those who had family, but, and of course, the family would defend them, would protect them. But there were others who had no family. So the Quraysh would torture them, and they would make life miserable for them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Sahaba in Medina, but these few people who were still left in Makkah, they were being tortured. So Hatib bin Abi Balta'ah radiallahu ta'ala, he became worried, And he thought, see, I've got no relatives to protect my family. They're being persecuted. If I have to just inform the Meccans that this is the plan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be a favor to them, and in return they will feel obliged to me, and then they will take care of my family and protect them, and they won't persecute them anymore. Understand what is his maqsad? Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala, he was sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant victory to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by leaking the secret information would not harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor would it harm Islam. He thought if he was to write a letter to and inform the Meccans that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intends to attack them, his children would be safe. So he made this mistake, and he writes this letter to the people of Makkah, informing them the intention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba are going to invade upon Makkah. So thinking that he will inform them, it will be a favor that he has done to them, and in return later on they will not persecute his family. But as far as the jihad that will take place, he knew, he was confident that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba will ultimately be victorious. So by him informing the Meccans won't really cause any harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba or Islam. But at least it will be a favor done from his side to them, and he would seek a favor in return. And the favor in return that he was seeking is that his family would be protected then by the Meccans. But he did not seek Rasulullah's permission. He does this secretly. Allah Ta'ala, so he gives this letter to the same woman Sarah. He dispatches this letter, and she takes his letter, she conceals this letter, and she proceeds. Allah Ta'ala informs Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this through revelation. And he is also informed that the bearer of the letter is a woman who has reached a place. As she is returning, she has come out of Medina, she is on road, she is going towards Makkah, she has camped at a place, or she is now at a place, she has reached a place called Rawdatul Khakh. Rawdatul Khakh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the riwayat, he sends Abu Marsad radiallahu ta'ala and Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala. And in some riwayat, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he commands them to ride their horses, pursue this woman, and she'll be found in Rawda Khakh. And he says, there you will find a pagan woman bearing a letter from Sayyidina Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala, addressed to the pagans of Makkah. He tells these Sahaba, overtake her and bring back the letter. These Sahaba, Abu Marthat radiallahu ta'ala, Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu ta'ala, and some riwayat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, they immediately gallop and they chase it after this woman, and they find her in the exact place and at Rawda Khakh. She's sitting there with, she's riding a camel. They made the camel sit, they search for the letter, but they do not find this letter. So they say to themselves that this woman must have the letter, because the information, the khabar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can never be wrong. She must have this letter somewhere on her. It must be, she must have hid this letter somewhere. So they insist, they ask her to produce the letter. But she denies having any knowledge of the letter. When they see that she is denying, she is refusing, she is lying to them, they adopt a sterner attitude, and they merely threaten her. What do they say? They threaten to remove all her clothes if she does not surrender this letter. Obviously they would not do it, but they threatened her just for her to surrender the letter and hand it over to them. When she sees that these Sahaba are determined to do that, she immediately produces the letter from her waistband. This letter was put into her waistband and secretly concealed there. And she gives it to them. This letter was brought back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this letter, what was the contents of the letter? The Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala informs the Meccans of Makkah that Rasulullah is going to invade you. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala hears this story, immediately he seeks Rasulullah's permission. دعني يا رسول الله أضرب عنق هذا المنافق. Leave me, let me strike off the head of this hypocrite. Let me kill Hatib bin Abi Balta'a. Rasulullah SAW stops him, says, wait, Hatib, what has prompted you to do this? Why did you write this letter to them? So Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala replies, and ulama and mufassirin, muhaddithin and mu'arrikhin and historians have written that Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala replies that his faith, his iman was not shaken in the least bit. His iman was still strong. He still firmly believed in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he explained that he intended to do a favor to the residents of Makkah so that they may not harm his family. And he pleaded that all other muhajirin had their clans in Makkah. They had family members in Makkah who would defend them, who would protect them, whilst his family had no one to take care of them, and whilst his family were being mercilessly persecuted at the hands of the Meccans, and therefore he felt that let me just do them a favor so that they may return the favor by protecting my family in the future. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to the Sahaba and say, Sadaqa, he has spoken the truth. Hatib bin Abi Balta'a has spoken the truth. The Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was not very convinced on account of his zeal of faith. And he repeated this request to kill him, to kill Hatib bin Abi Balta'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then makes a statement, a very compelling argument, a very forceful straight fact. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, oh, Umar, this man has participated in Badr. He's a Badri Sahabi. What can I tell you? Perhaps Allah has looked at those who participated at Badr. And Allah has said, O people of Badr, do what you like, for I have forgiven you. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِتَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately stops Umar and says, Umar, that Hatib bin Abi Balta'a is a Badri Sahabi. He participated in the battle of Badr. And know that Allah has forgiven the people of Badr, those Sahaba who participated in the battle of Badr, in which we have discussed extensively in the seerah. And we know what a battle had taken place, and it was the greatest of the battles in Islam, and what favors and blessings were for those who participated in that battle. Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala was also a Badri Sahabi. Having heard this, tears rolls down from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's eyes, and he says, Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone have the knowledge of the reality. And Hatib bin Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala had explained to them. He said, I never did this to harm Islam nor the Muslims, because I knew for sure that Allah will grant victory to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of whether or not the Meccans came to know about the attack or not. So with reference to this particular incident, Allah has revealed the surah, the opening verses of Surah Al-Mumtahina, where Allah forbids the Muslims very strongly in having a friendly relationship with the infidels. And Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, la tattakhidhu aduwi wa aduwakum awliya, tulquna ilayhim bil mawaddah, wa qad kafaru bima ja'akum min al haqq, that do not take my enemy and your enemy as friends, expressing love for them while they have rejected the truth that has come to you. يُخْرِجُونَ الرَّسُولِ, they remove Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah. وَإِيَّاكُمْ, and you people, the Sahaba, أَن تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ رَبِّكُمْ, simply, merely, because you believe in Allah as your Rabb. So they had no love for Allah. They had no love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They hate Islam. Haqq had come to them. The truth had come to them. They rejected the truth. إِن كُنْتُمْ خَرَجْتُمْ جِهَادًا فِي سَبِيلِي. Allah further says that if you have to set out and struggle in my way and do jihad in my way and to seek my pleasure and you express love for them secretly, تُصِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, referring to Hatib bin Abi Balta'a, that you are informing them of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come out for. He has come out, he is going to attack them, he has come out in jihad and he is seeking my pleasure. تُصِرُّونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ, you still want to express love and you still want to inform them. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِمَا أَخْفَيْتُمْ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُمْ, and I know very well all that you keep concealed and all that you reveal. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ, whosoever does this then he will miss the straight path. إِنْ يَثْقَفُوكُمْ, should they have access to you, should the enemy have access to you, يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءَ, if these Meccans of Makkah have, the pagans of Makkah have access to you, يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءً, they will become your enemies. وَيَبْسُطُوا إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ, and they will stretch their hands, وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ, and their tongues towards you, بِالسُّوء, with evil. In other words, they will fight you, they will harm you. Verbally they will abuse you, physically they will harm you. وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ, and what is their desire? Their desire is that you should become infidels, you should become kafirs, you should reject the truth. وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ, that you also make kufr. لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أُولَادُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah Rabbul Izzat informs them, neither your womb relations nor your children will avail you on the day of Qiyamah. On that day when Allah will make faisla between you, when Allah will decide between you. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watchful of all what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, that in the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there is an excellent example for you in Ibrahim and those with him, those who brought iman. When they said to the people, إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ, when they said to the people, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, that we are free from you and whatever you worship instead of Allah. كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ, we disbelieve in you. So we are free, we disown you and whatever you worship besides Allah. All those things besides Allah that you are worshipping, we rejected. كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ, enmity and hatred has risen between us and you forever unless you believe in Allah alone. So what is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and those who believed, the believers with him, they addressed the non-believers, their own relatives, their own people. Is قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ, they say to their own people, that listen, until you don't believe in Allah, we are not going to have an intimate relationship with you. We disown you. We disown all those things that you are worshipping now, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ, we reject all those things. We disown you. We have nothing to do with you. Inna bura'a. The word bura'a, bari, to mean to have nothing to do with the person. Allah says, this is a beautiful example for you in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did he say? Ibrahim alayhi salam and his people, that now we have enmity for you. Why? Why? Because you are rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are rejecting Allah Rabbul Izzat. You have no love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the important lesson which the Mufassirin explained. And we had discussed similar in the towards the end of Surah Al-Mujadila, wherein ulama explain that the believers should not have an intimate relationship with the enemies of Allah. Allah says, "Aduwi wa aduwakum." So these hopes of friendship, or friendship we have for the enemy of Allah, this is not going to bring any good. Why? Allah, ulama explain that an infidel is the enemy of Allah, whereas a Muslim loves Allah. How can there be an intimate friendship between the two then? That a person, number one, believer loves Allah, and the second person hates Allah. So if somebody hates your Allah, how can you then have this intimate relationship with him? Remember, I emphasize on the word intimate relationship. And we discuss this in detail, that there are occasions when a believer has a relationship with a disbeliever. And we did that all, we explained that very in detail when we did Surah Al-Mujadila. But just to refresh in our memories, towards the end of Surah Al-Mujadila, when we had discussed Muwalat, when Allah said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا قَوْمًا غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا هُمْ مِنْكُمْ وَلَا مِنْهُمْ. They are not from you, they do not belong to you, nor do you belong to them. Allah said, have you not seen those who have friendship with the people with whom Allah is angry? So we had explained in detail there that Allah Rabbul Izzat does not want the believers to have love, affection, intimacy for those who hate Allah, for those who don't believe in Allah, those who are the enemies of Allah. This is in Arabic is termed as muwalat, to have this intimate friendship, this intimate relationship, where a person, the love that comes out from his heart intensely, there is an emotional commitment. So this type of friendship, this muwalat, this is not permissible. Yes, what is permissible is muwasat, whether it is sympathy, kindness, concern, charitable assistance, support, some business dealing, commercial trade dealings, economic cooperation, when there's condolence, consolation, all these things are permissible. Your neighbor, somebody passes away, then you make muwasat, you express your condolence to them. There's no harm in that. Your neighbor or some non-believer requires some financial assistance, you can help the person so long as that finance that you are giving him is not going to be used against the Muslims. It's not going to be used to oppose the Muslims. So if a person is a poor person, a disbeliever, by all means, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul encouraged us, the believers, to help the disbelievers. A poor person, you don't look whether he's a believer or a disbeliever. A person in need, a person is driving and he meets up with an accident, whether he's a believer or a disbeliever, we are encouraged to assist the person. By us assisting the disbelievers, by showing them that compassion, that sympathy, and when they are experiencing some difficulty, then we are inviting them towards the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then it is a means of da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So muwasat, there is no problem with. Mu'amalat, we are dealing with them, there is no problem with them, with that. But the problem is in muwalat. When you become very intimate with them. Now you're drinking, your movements, your moving, your dining, your weekends, your leisure, your pleasure, your entertainment, everything is with them. That is incorrect. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the believers from. So we come back to the verses that we were explaining. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want Hatib bin Abi Balta'a to do such a thing by him expressing secretly his concern for them. It was as though he is showing love for them. And when Allah says, وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, when they have rejected the truth, they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have a very hostile attitude, and that's proven. They drove Rasulullah s.a.w. out of Makkah. They are persecuting the believers in Makkah. They did not allow the Sahaba to take the belongings from Makkah. They usurped their properties, their homes, their dwellings, and their belongings when they left Makkah. So all this is not for any worldly grudge that they had against the Sahaba or against Rasulullah s.a.w. The only grudge they have, the only enmity they have, is based on iman, 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 because Sahaba had iman, because they believing in Allah. So Rasulullah SAW is then, these verses are revealed to say, Runa ilayhim bil mawadda, you express love to them secretly, and you think that I am not aware, wa ana a'lamu bima akhfaytum wa ma a'lantum. So any person who secretly maintains a friendly intimacy with the unbelievers should not think that it will remain a secret. إِن يَسْقَفُوكُمْ يَكُونُوا لَكُمْ أَعْدَاءَ. Allah says, should they have access to you, they will become your enemies. They will stretch their hands and tongues towards you with evil. This verse indicates how bitter are the feelings of the disbelievers toward the Muslims. Deep down in the heart, they do not have that love. Yes. Those who are expressing that love and genuinely are showing that concern, and they are coming closer to Islam, and they are learning every day, and they are becoming attracted to the practices and the deeds of the Muslims and the dealings of the Muslims and the character of Islam in the Muslims, that's another matter. You give them dawah, you win them over, you invite them and you explain to them Islam. Must remember, respected mothers and sisters and elders, we must make shukr to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah has granted us iman. But what is the main concern? What is the main concern? That the world, the entire world, becomes true believers in Allah. It's not that we come into this world and one group must believe in Allah and the rest of the people are disbelievers and we don't have any concern to make i'la of the kalima of Allah. That means our concern should be that this kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should become dominant. This should become dominant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. And Allah says it is a uswatun hasana, a very good example. So what does example illustrate? It supports, it emphasizes abstention and abstaining from maintaining close, friendly relationships with non-believers. Imagine a person goes out to the disbeliever. It is a Saturday night. Generally, what will happen? The disbeliever, he will order, if they're going to eat, then he will order wine and alcohol and a beer. You're traveling overseas. You're not going for some important work or a conference. You are going on a holiday. And you're going with a disbeliever. One who hates Allah Rabbul Izzat and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And deep down, he has hatred and hostility for you. And you are thinking that he is your friend. For him, zina is nothing. For her, zina is nothing. He's not going to worship you, Allah. He's not going to worry about salat. He's not going to worry about adhan. He's not going to worry about taharat. He's not going to worry about halal and haram. Imagine if you are the only one person among them. Therefore, Shariat does not... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his banda. And of course we have to make dua that Allah blesses them with hidayat. Allah blesses them with hidayat. And therefore we should adopt those correct and jais means, permissible means of giving dawat towards them, towards Allah Rabbul Izzat. But we lack in that duty. We do not give them dawat. We do not show them the beauty of Islam. So we still enjoy that relationship with them, not realizing the damage and nuqsan it is doing to yourself, to your deen. I hope this point is clearly understood, is not misunderstood. I am not saying now you must just go and harm any non-Muslim. Ma'azallah, I'm making very, very, very clear. In these times people misconstrue things. I emphasize the fact that you should have muasat. You must show that concern, that sympathy towards the disbeliever, especially when he requires some assistance and he's afflicted with some pain. There's no harm in visiting him and saying to him. But here I'm referring to those people who are hostile, those who are there to harm you and who hate Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who make blasphemous statements against Sharia and Deen and Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. And Allah then says, حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. So we will only have that relationship with you when you bring iman in Allah Rabbul Izzat. What, which relationship? Muwalat. إِلَّا قَوْلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ. إِلَّا in Arabic comes for what we call istithna. Allah is excluding. Allah is besides the statement of Ibrahim to his father, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ, that I will seek forgiveness on your behalf. وَمَا أَمْلِكُ لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. I am not able to do anything against Allah Ta'ala for you. رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. O Allah, upon you we have trust, reliance. We turn towards you and to you is our return and abode. Ulama explain, إِلَّا قَوْلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِيَبِيهِ. Allah says, this example of Ibrahim a.s. we have cited, that this is how he put a barrier between him and his people when they failed to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He refrained from having a intimate relationship with them. However, Ibrahim a.s. still made dua of istighfar on behalf of his father. And he says, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ, I will pray to my Allah for your forgiveness. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam prayed for his father's forgiveness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this, because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's father had rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is Allah bringing to our attention? That it is not permitted to emulate this statement of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in respect to his father, where he is praying for his father's forgiveness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned, or Allah had explained, that iman had not come into his father's heart, and it was quite evident, quite clear, that his father was the enemy of Allah. And therefore in one verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوُّ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْ. So perhaps Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he sought repentance on behalf of his father, oh Allah, forgive my father, even though he is not a believer, forgive him. At that moment, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam perhaps felt that there was some hope that his father may accept iman. And he did not know the intensity of the hatred of his father towards Allah. But فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ, when this became evident to him, when it became clear to him that his father was a genuine, a true enemy of Allah, تَبَرَّأَ مِنْ, He renounced him. So praying for his father's forgiveness, this is what Allah did not want. That this man, he is rejecting me, and you are still seeking forgiveness on his behalf. This you should not do. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that this Ibrahim alayhi salam example, that he gave dawah to his father, he gave dawah to his people, that we should do. And after giving them the dawah, and he saw that they were not now believing in Allah, then Ibrahim alayhi salam did not maintain that close family and intimate relationship with his father and people. This is what Allah Ta'ala says. However, understand again, if your disbelieving mother or father comes to visit you, you don't chase the person away. Now this is what you call muasat. So when the person comes, you honor your father, you honor your mother. Asma radiallahu ta'ala, daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, her mother was a mushrika, she comes from Medina, she brings some gifts to Asma. Asma radiallahu ta'ala rejects the gifts. She goes to Rasulullah, ya Rasulullah, my mother has come, wa hiya mushrika, wa hiya raghima, she has refrained from Islam, she has not accepted Islam. Ulama mentioned that this was the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. When she didn't accept Islam, Abu Bakr had already had divorced her. Abu Bakr had married Umm Ruman, and that was the mother of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and Abdul Rahman. But from the first wife, Abdullah and Asma radiallahu ta'ala, but they had accepted Islam. So this mother comes to visit Asma, she brings the gift. Afa asiluha? Shall I go and join ties with her? Could I entertain her? Must I accept her gifts? Rasulullah said, Naam siriha. Oh Asma, go, no problem. See to your mother. Be kind to her. And this is the teaching of Islam. I reiterate that we have to be polite. You have to be courteous. They are your parents. But when they show hostility, when they show hostility and enmity to you, Allah, then you cannot have a very intimate relationship. Yes, you will still be just towards them. You will still show politeness. You will still, if there's any case, whether the person is a believer or disbeliever, and justice has to be applied, it will be applied, even though it is given in favor of the disbeliever. How often we saw somebody coming with a case towards Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, it is a believer against a non-believer, but when he listens to the case and he sees, no, definitely the non-believer, he is on the right in this matter, and he gives the verdict to him in his favor. This is the justice of Islam. Let us continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah, do not make us a cause of trial for the disbelievers. Do not make us persecuted. وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا رَبَّنَا. Oh Allah, forgive us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are almighty, all wise. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِيهِمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed for you there is an excellent example in them. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. For anyone who hopes in meeting Allah in the last day. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ. And whoever turns away. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. And Allah does not need any person. Allah is free of all needs. Allah is worthy of all praise. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً. Allah says, soon, hopefully, Allah will bring, or most definitely, whenever the word asa comes to Allah, then most definitely, Allah will bring about love between you and those of them with whom you have enmity. Remember, right now this person is rejecting you, Allah. He is criticizing you, Allah. He is using disparaging remarks against your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sharia tells you, now you don't have an intimate relationship with him. It is painful. That's your close family member. It's not easy for a person to do this, now to cut off relationships. But Allah says, Asallah. Allah promises you that if you adopt this way of and you do it so for the pleasure of Allah, Allah says, soon Allah will make between you and those who are your enemies with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will create the love. How? Allah will bring them to Islam. Allah will make them enter the fold of Islam. Wallahu qadir. Allah has all the ability. Wallahu ghafoorur raheem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah very clearly explains. Allah says, la yanhaakumullah. Allah has not prohibited you. عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Allah has not prohibited you. Allah does not forbid. Allah does not forbid you from doing good and from doing justice to those who did not fight you because of faith. So this is very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah has not stopped you. Allah has not prohibited you to do justice. To do justice. To who? To those disbelievers. لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Who did not fight you in deen. وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. And they did not drive you out of your homes. What has Allah not prohibited you from? From what? أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِتُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. That you do good to them. You be kind to them. You are polite to them. You are just towards them. Wallahu yuhibbu, inna Allah yuhibbu al-muqsitin. Allah loves those who maintain justice. Yes, whom has Allah prohibited you from? إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَنْ تَوَلَّهُمْ. Allah has prohibited you from those who have fought you. Why? Because of faith. On account of Iman, they have fought with you. They have expelled you from your homes. And they have helped others in expelling you. And those who develop friendship with such people, that it is they who are the wrongdoers. Allah says, وَمَيْ أَن تَوَلَّهُمْ. You should not do that. وَمَيْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ. If you show this intimate relationship with these people who are warriors, and these people who are your enemies, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Then such people are wrongdoers. We will stop here because the next two verses are quite long and they require much explanation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand the verses of the Holy Quran. Of course, we have to understand it in the light of the incident that transpired at that time. And may Allah ta'ala give us the true understanding. I have tried my best in trying to explain these verses. They may not be very simple to understand, but these are the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever it applies to us, we have to also make amal on these verses, of course, but understand it in the correct way, in the true light, not just misunderstanding, and then we do the wrong things. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned very clearly in the last two verses whom Allah has prohibited you from and whom Allah has not prohibited you from having some relationship with. Coming to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.